in today's time and the way things are going in society today, there's going to have to be something that's not run-of-the-mill, something that's not normal. I got a chance to minister this message at camp meeting. Y'all make some noise at camp meeting. Camp meeting was awesome. Had a wonderful time. If you didn't get to see everything, make sure the archives are there. Thank God for LeroyThompson.tv. You can just go anytime. You know, anytime you want, anytime of night, you can turn that word on and you get that fresh word over and over again. I got a chance to minister on Friday morning. I always take it as a privilege and I always ask the Holy Ghost to help me because I never step up here on my own. But I got a chance to minister a message called Expect the Fresh on Friday morning. If you ever hear a message, as always, you never really get to finish your messages. Like you never, if you're a preacher, you know, you never finish. You can kind of accomplish what you need to accomplish for that service, but you never really finish it. You're never really ever going to finish because the Holy Ghost is always talking something new. So I taught a message called Expect the Fresh that morning. And I want to continue it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 a little bit. But he told me tonight that we have to understand how to expect the fresh leadership. Tonight is going to be some teaching to kind of help us to grow up. Everybody say grow up.
Grow up.
Come on, say it again, grow up. One of the chronic problems in church is that people don't grow up well in church. We think church is a charitable organization. We think church is a seeker-friendly organization. So we think that when we come to church or we come to the church house or we come to listen to the man of God, whoever has the word or the pastor or whoever's teaching or have an evangelist in town or our apostle, thank God for our apostle, amen.
Amen.
If whoever God has assigned us to and assigned us to follow, everybody say follow.
Follow.
A lot of times we don't get that together because we think church is just a friendly thing. You know, we come here, we see the people, we see our sometimes our family members, we see people that we like to see at church. We sit in our seats next to people that we sat next to next week, and we pass some peppermints and different things, and praise God for all that. Amen. And it's good to be happy and good to be friendly and good to have a good time. But one of the things that that church is meant for is order. Everybody say order. Come on, say it again. Say order.
Order.
Everybody in the house say order.
Order.
Now, it's order. It's government. I thank God for governmental order, and I thank God for setting an apostle in our midst to show us how things are supposed to go. And a lot of times we miss the point of why we come here. We miss the point of why we do what we do. Expect the fresh leadership. Say it.
Expect the fresh leadership.
Say it again.
Expect the fresh leadership.
Say it again.
Expect the fresh leadership.
Now, true leadership will never look the same all the time. If it's always the same, if it always has the same instructions, if it's always doing the same exact thing all the time, then they ain't really leading you nowhere. You're actually running in circles. One of the things about apostles, and I love this and I appreciate this, it keeps me on my toes, it makes me nervous, all those different emotions that can come at one time, it keeps me that all the time, but it makes me be ready and makes me acknowledge the Holy Ghost so I can be in my place. But I don't ever know what he gonna do. Ever. Listen, I live with the man. I've been all my life. I never know what's going to happen. I never know the leadership. Now, there'll be times I'm getting a little ahead of myself. There'll be times that he'll give me leadership that I don't quite understand. There'll be times that he'll tell me things that I should do that I don't really know that I should be doing those. And so I can shuffle in my mind a little bit and not understand. But my job is to submit. Everybody say submit.
Submit.
Come on and say it again. Submit.
Submit.
Say self.
Self.
Come on, now talk to yourself right now. Say self.
Self.
You gotta submit.
Yes.
Come on, say it again. Say self.
Self.
I don't know how you look at yourself. Figure it out. Close your eyes. Whatever you gotta do. Say self.
Self.
You gotta submit.
You gotta submit.
One of the key things about leadership is submission. You cannot follow somebody unless you're submitted to them. When I lead you in a way, I look at the story of Elijah and Elisha. And at the end of the story, I don't have time to go there to the whole story. But at the end of the story, Elisha got a double portion of what Elijah had because he was following Elijah. He did not let Elijah leave him, but he followed him everywhere he go, even when Elijah said, stay here, I'm coming back later. He followed. He was submitted to what God had called him to do. He was submitted to who God had connected him to. Therefore, he had a right to the double portion because of submission. He had a right to the increase of anointing because of submission and submission alone. We don't see a lot about Elisha doing a lot. You go read in Kings. We don't see a lot about Elisha doing a lot of stuff. We don't see the Lord move through. No, everything was about Elijah. And the only thing you saw Elisha doing was follow. He was always there on his coattail. Even when he didn't understand, he was following. Everybody say submission. Come on, say it again, submission. The key thing to being a follower is submission. When Elijah, and it's not, when Elijah was leading Elisha, he didn't have time to be doing like this and then turn around. Come on, Elisha. Come on, Elisha. Elisha, come on, keep up. No, his job was to walk. His job was to do whatever God was calling him to do, and Elisha's job was to follow. Do your job. Listen to me well. Do your job. Listen to me well. Do your job. When you do your job, then all the blessing that God has for you will be in your doing of your job. You know, the Bible talks about every joint supplies, right? And everybody got his place. Find your place and walk. But you got to submit to the leadership. Everybody say, I got to submit. Come on, say it again. I got to submit. In this day and time, things are going crazy. People are making all kind of rules. The laws are going all through the air, making all kind of things that they feel like they want to make. In this day and time, we don't need the little lotion and the little cute little mammy-pammy stuff that we're doing. No, you need a fresh leadership from God to know where you're going, to navigate through these hazy times. To navigate through these dark moments, you need somebody with a light. And you follow the light. Now, this is not hard to do, but it got some things that we have to put on the side. It's some ways that we prepare ourselves, the way that we prepare ourselves to expect. And one of the things I put, and Apostle is amazing because I got some notes from him that he took on the Friday morning, and I was preaching. I thought I was preaching, y'all. I thought I was. Come on, y'all. In the church saying amen. You know, people be jumped up and can't be, you know. I thought I was preaching, and he came up and did the rebuttal and gave about 7 points. That was inside everything that I was, but I was like, Lord Jesus, I started writing them down. I said, man, I should have, can I get a part two? Can I preach this again? He started getting notes. That wasn't even in there. I didn't even see that. I've been reading all night long. I ain't seen it in there. So he gave some points that were powerful. And one of the first ones he said was position yourself. Everybody say position.
Position.
Come on, say it again, position.
Position.
Come on, say it again, position.
Position.
Now, and I looked at Doug. It's funny because when you're playing sports, there's certain positions that you play. Now, if you're out of your position, then the play won't go like it's supposed to go. If you're out of your place, then the defense that you're supposed to be playing won't run, and it'll be open for anything to come in and take your kingdom over because you're not in your position. Everybody say position.
Position.
So you've got to position yourself. A part of expectation or expecting fresh leadership is positioning myself to be led.
That's right.
All right, so positioning myself. So, and I gave this example that Friday morning. I'll give it again. But when you're waiting on a package or you're waiting on something to come in the mail and it's something that you've been waiting on for a long time, you know, it's kind of like all these prayers that we've been praying for God to drop this off to my house and I need this increase, God, and bless my family and bless my children and bring my child home and all these different things that we've been praying for, expect the fresh. See, if you position yourself, maybe you'll receive all of those things that you're ordering. But see, when it's time to come in, you're not everywhere else. You're not doing all kind of other things. You're not sleep. You're not somewhere else. You're not all gallivanting. No, they told you what time it was coming, so you position yourself because you're expecting your package to come in. Now, if you're out of position, then your package is delayed. It got on my nerves. I appreciate it. But hey, sir, how you doing? I got on my nerves to have people. I'm looking for something, but I'm not at home. I'm not in position. And so what they do? They take it back. You miss it 3 times, they'll ship it back. Amen. Anybody ever sound like y'all done had that happen before? So they take it back. So now what was supposed to come on Tuesday is delayed till Wednesday because you're not in position. What you were supposed to receive right now, you can't receive it right now because you're not in position right now. So you got to wait till you get in position. Now see, your increase is only not here now because you're not in position. It's somewhere you need to check your position in. Whatever it is that you're believing for, the reason that is, something is wrong with your positioning. Now, from an apostolic standpoint, Apostle is leading us with supernatural instructions. I mean, right now, I say this all the time, you're sitting in a miracle. Right now, all of this is here because of supernatural instructions. Nothing should be here in this place right now. But because of God and his supernatural instructions, his apostolic leadership, God has birthed something in this place that should have never been here. You're sitting in the midst of it right now. Understand this. So the leadership is doing its part. But now for me, well, how do I fit in? I've got to position myself to be led. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't be led kicking and screaming. You can't be led having your own agenda. You can't be led having your own ideas of how it's, can I tell you something about your own ideas? Can I tell you something about your own ideas? It might hurt a little bit. Can I tell you something about your own ideas? They don't work. If your own ideas worked, then you wouldn't be where you are right now. Hold on, let's be honest. Children of Israel. Now, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? Then God gave them some words and all the plagues, we saw the plague and everything. Moses led them out. Then they had the nerve to be free and still murmur. They had the nerve to be free and still be upset. And want to question, well, is Moses the only one that hear God? Is he, well, he gotta be, because you didn't free yourself.
That's right.
You'd have been there for another 400 years.
That's right.
You and your children and your children's children and your children's children's children would have been in that same place unless God sent a man in your midst with a word fresh from him to lead you out of Egypt. But in order to get out of Egypt, I gotta follow. So I position myself. So one of the best ways to position myself is to get over myself. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, get over yourself. Or look at your other one, tell him, get over yourself. Look at your other one, tell him, get over yourself. One of the best ways to position yourself is to get over yourself. Yourself ain't nothing but a bunch of trash. Yourself, listen, well, I'll say it by myself, all right? So you don't think I'm just talking about y'all. Myself ain't nothing but a bunch of junk without some fresh leadership. Myself get me in trouble. Myself make me say the things I ain't supposed to say. Myself make me get mad at stuff that I ain't supposed to be mad at. Myself keep me in the dirt. Myself always got some foolishness. Get over yourself. You're not that smart. I'll say it again. Say a lot, pause, calmly think about this. You're not that smart. You're not that intelligent. That's tough, huh? I'm a smart individual. I didn't ask you about your smart individuality. You're not that smart. When it comes down to God's will and how he does things, you're not that intelligent. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, position yourself. I've always read this, Brother Ron, I always read this from a minister standpoint when I would read this chapter, and I would read it and ask the Holy Ghost to anoint me and give me the excellency of speech of the Holy Ghost and not of man's wisdom. And I always would read it to ask God to do something for me as a minister. But then I read it today as a follower. I read it today as listening to the apostle speak to me. All right, now you remember, if you read these letters in Corinthians, these were letters written from Paul to the church. All right? So what they would do, they would take these letters and he would be somewhere, but somebody would take these letters and actually read them to the church so they can understand what he was saying, what the Lord had put on his heart for the church of Corinth, all right? So I looked at this and I started reading it, and I didn't read it from a self perspective, well, Lord, anoint me tonight because I got to preach. No. I read it from a follower.
Yeah.
I read it from a follower submitted to an apostle.
Yeah.
See, they had Apostle Paul. We got Apostle Thompson. Make some noise. So I read it I started reading and I read, and it says, and so I'm listening to an apostle talk to me right now. He said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." Verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power." So now the scripture says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. In other words, when I come and I preach to you and I minister to you, it may not make sense to you. It may not be your common knowledge, because your common knowledge got you where you are.
Right.
So now when I come and I speak to you and I preach to you a fresh word from God, most likely you won't understand it all of the time. most likely you're going to have to follow me in faith.
Right.
You know, faith is really stepping out on something that you don't really know. It's like,
right.
You know, it's like it ain't really faith if you know.
Right.
That's why God don't tell us everything before, because it's just to live by. Sometimes faith is that step on that water. You don't really know if it's going to hold you or not, but you're going on the word.
Right.
You get it? So now, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now, we got a lot of preaching in the church today with enticing words of man's wisdom. They got all the Greek definitions and all the Hebrew connotations and all the different Bibles and the translations so they can make you feel real good, right? Make you feel real good and then make you think you learned something until you get in the car and realize you ain't go nowhere. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, demonstration of the Spirit and of power is always over your head. It is never right here where you're seeing with your carnal eyes. That your faith should not stand. You read verse 5. Ready, read. But in the power, not that your faith should stand. Now, if our faith right now in this direct day, right now in this moment time, stood in the wisdom of men, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
Think about it for a minute. What's going on?
Yeah.
If our faith was built on the wisdom of men, we wouldn't have much to stand on. But not that your faith should stand in the wisdom of men, but in the
power
of God. So now, for this to happen, and I'm talking, and I'm going back and forth, I'm talking, this apostle talking to us now, he's telling us this. Now, I got to position myself. Now, you say, how do I position myself? Number one, you need to come to church.
Right.
I'm glad y'all here. See y'all watching online that could have made it here on time? You need to be here. Come to church. Yeah, we don't have 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock on Sunday morning just to be just somebody needs something to do. No, we're on a mission here. Position yourself. You come to church. All right. Now another thing is, and we don't do this much. Some of us don't do it as much as we should. And I said it before. We should take advantage of the archives. One of the things Apostle used to do, and I realized something he used to do when he was following Dr. Price and he was following Brother Hagin, is he would always, there was not much time that I'd come in the room and not find him listening to a tape or reading one of the books or feeding on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, we caught up with so many other things. Don't get quiet in here for a second, but I'm cool.
You're right.
We caught up with so many other things. We want everything, but we caught up with so many other things.
Yeah.
It's not much time. Now, you got time to turn the show off.
Yeah.
I ain't never got no time. Yeah, you got time. You got time. You're just not making the time. Boy, you can, listen, LeroyTunnels.tv is on all the time. You can put it on your phone right now. You can pull up your phone right now. I ain't going to tell you to do. You pull up your phone right now, type in LeroyTunnels.tv, and the message is playing. You can find all the, how much it costs? Nothing. You can do it. You can do it, but you have to choose to position yourself. Now, what happens here is, If I approach fresh leadership with a stale following mentality, I won't understand what's going on. I won't be able to benefit from my true leadership. I won't be able to go like I should go because I'm approaching stale. I'm not approaching fresh. How do I position myself? How can I position myself better? Well, one of the things is, when you're on a day, we're doing these prayer groups. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, everybody say praying in the Holy Ghost.
Holy
Ghost showed me something last Friday. And he said, you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking something fresh. Every time you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're speaking out freshness. So every time you pray in the Holy Ghost, it should be opening you up, making you more fresh, making you more, that's not even a word, making you able to comprehend fresh better.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when the leadership comes, I can follow. Because then the point two, and he gave me, and this is powerful. He said, flesh, now go with this, ready? Flesh gets offended when fresh comes because it can't have control anymore. I'm going to say it again because y'all ain't writing it like I'm not talking deep, but it's okay. Flesh gets offended when fresh comes because it cannot have control anymore. Now, you in control right now. When your flesh is in control, that's why you're in the ditch. Because the flesh is in control. So flesh gets offended when something fresh comes because it realizes losing its grip. offense and getting offended, you know, and then a lot of times we deal with that a lot in church because we kind of, I don't know why, the boss can tell us anything. That man at the job that we're working for can tell us anything and we're going to be back tomorrow. He can shut up, go sit down in your seat. And you're going to be mad, but you ain't going to say nothing about it. Go sit your tail down. Didn't I tell you to be on time this morning? Yes, sir, boss. I'll be on time tomorrow. When we get to church now, when somebody tell you be on time, we in our feelings. And when something changed a little bit, we kind of touched. Now, this is what I'm not saying. I heard this in the back, but I'm not saying don't get offended. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying get offended. Don't feel touched. I'm not saying don't feel touched. I'm saying don't live in offense.
Right.
Are y'all listening to me? Don't live in offense. Trust me. If fresh, did the statement just now? If fresh offends flesh, you're gonna get offended a lot. It's just gonna happen. Because we're in this flesh body. We're going to get offended. But don't live in offense. Listen, my daddy slapped me one time. Whew, when I was younger. I'm at the table. I'm showing my tail. Boy, I don't know exactly what I was doing, but it was something that I shouldn't have been doing. And we had company with us, and he had already told me to sit down. You know, but if you don't, you know, when you got company, you know, when you're company, you think, he ain't going to hit me in front of company. he ain't gonna correct me in front of the whole church. All right. So I'm just doing what I'm doing or whatever, and I'm just, you know, being a kid or whatever. Sit down. All right. And then I'm back up. I think I was talking when I wasn't supposed to be talking. I think I was running my mouth about just talking. He told me to shut up. You don't talk when grown people are talking, right? You know, the younger, they're talking. And I don't know which way it came from. I can't remember. I'm remembering this in my head. I don't remember. I'm sitting at the table. And all of a sudden, whop! And it was kind of like, I don't know what I do next. So I'm just going to cry because that's the next thing. And I don't know what. Bow. But I never did it again. It was just like that slap. That slap stung me enough and stunned me enough to where I learned my lesson. But it don't feel good. We don't want no whoopings. But you know, that's the thing that matures you. That's the thing, the correction. Everything is powerful reproof of correction. That's the thing that grows you. You know, we all want to grow, but nobody wants growing pains. But that smack, that correction, that push, that thing that pushes you over, that thing that knocked you off the wrong path onto the right path, that hit sometimes is the thing that's going to catapult you to your next level. I'm not saying don't feel hurt, though. That's fine. It's only human nature. That's fine. All right? But don't live there. If I lived in the whoopings that I got, all the whoopings that I got in my life, if I lived in those whooping moments right now, I'd still be in the corner crying. You know, by the time you've been corrected, amen, anybody been corrected? Come on. You still be over there. You still be over there, no offense. Just take it as correction and realize you needed it. If don't nobody correct you, then what you gonna do? Come on. Some of y'all got kids. Some of y'all got young kids right now. Just let them loose in the house. Come on, go, just do it tonight. Tonight, let's run the experiment. Let's take it home and just let them loose. Don't tell them nothing. Let them get what they want, eat what they want, take what they want. Just let them run around however they want to. Well, what's going to happen? Somebody going to die. Somebody going to be sick. Somebody going to be hurt. This is going to be a bunch of problems, and there'll be no order, and there'll be no growth, and there'll be no progress because there's no correction. I'm not saying, I'm going to say it again, I'm not saying don't feel nothing. Can't help but feel it, right? But take your lick your wounds, get up, and let's keep running. The enemy wants us to live in offense, because if he knows that we live in offense, then we can't hear what's coming out to put us on the offense. All right. Y'all get what I'm saying? To move us forward. To push us forward to where we can score. He wants us to be offended and upset and think it's just about you. Listen to me. Whenever you catch a whooping, you ain't the only person getting whooped. Self tries to make us feel that way sometimes. You think that you're the only person that's getting corrected. You don't never mess with nobody else. If you knew how many corrections go on in this ministry, you'll feel a little better. If I give you a list of all the corrections going on while you getting corrected, you feel a little better. It's not all about you. At the end of the day, I ain't got no reason to be getting offended no way, because it ain't about me no way. Right? No, we're here for a bigger mission. It is not about our individual vendettas. It's about a bigger mission. So I'm not saying don't feel it. Feel it. You need to feel it. If you don't feel it, you never change. So feel it. I hope you cry. But after you stop crying, come on, put the big boy pants on, dry your eyes up, and let's keep walking. Every time that I've been corrected, y'all, I got some classic corrections. You can go in the archives and see some of them. From the church, from the world, online, this correction. Take them like a champ. I just got to take my lick. And every time I needed all of them. Now, I ain't going to say I ain't getting a call by myself and be like, man, you had to handle me like that. Man, I ain't. But I wouldn't be the man that I am if I didn't have those corrections. There's some places that the Holy Spirit has allowed me to go in the spirit that I wouldn't have gone unless I had those corrections to be able to prepare me for that. See, when the correction comes, or the change comes, or the fresh direction comes, when it comes, be prepared to receive it with an open heart and understand it's not going to feel good all the time. It is not going to line up with your common knowledge that your mom and your dad have taught you from when you was a little kid. It is not going to line up all the time. But understand it's taking you somewhere you've never been. There's a statement on the notes, he said, the Holy Spirit is always trying to take you somewhere you've never been. No, he's always trying to do it. Like every second of the day, every moment of the day, every time we come here to meet at church, he's trying to take you somewhere you've never been before. So what I do? What do you do? I pray in the Holy Ghost. I read the word and I pray in the Holy Ghost and I prepare myself on a consistent basis. Now, even at home, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you on your own, he's going to tell you something that you don't really understand. He's going to give you some directions that's not common to man. I'm not talking about fanatics. I'm talking about fresh. Everybody say fresh. Fresh. Come on, say it again, fresh. Fresh. So he's going to give you something that you don't understand, but you got to be prepared to receive that. So I pray in the Holy Ghost. How long I pray? I pray till I need to stop praying and then I pray some more. Because I'm constantly looking for that fresh. I'm constantly trying to be open for that fresh. So now I even pray the more when I'm coming to service. That's why we have prayer before service. So we can be prepared. I say, well, I can't make it down time. Well, pray in the car. Turn the radio off and pray in the car so that you can be open. So when the word comes, you can receive it with joy. God is always trying to take you somewhere you've never been before. Here's another one. He says, you have to be reverent before you get revelation. Listen to me. You have to be reverent before you get revelation. Submission has everything to do with reverence. You have to treat it like it's something special to you. You have to revere it and lift it up high and lift it up where it's supposed to be so that you can receive from what it is. You can't. This is why Apostle don't be coming to your house, do we? Huh? He don't be on the phone with you all day. He don't be sending y'all text messages and texting y'all and seeing. He don't be fooling with y'all. Why? Because he's trying to keep you from becoming common with him so you can keep the reverence. Everybody say reverence. That's where the word reverend come from. Keep the reverence. So I can keep the reverence so that when he's dropping it off, I can receive it. I revere him. I revere him as my leader. I don't just see him as another man. Well, he bleeds just like me. They ain't got nothing to do. We ain't talking about no blood right now. We talking about supernatural interpretation. We talking about things in the chapter talking about that are spiritually discerned. Now, the father of this house is apostle, right? And rightfully so, because he's the father. As far as if you want to do years and meditation time and study time and prayer time, we probably could put all ours together. True thing. True statement. I know that feels some kind of way. It's a true statement. There's a thing that they study, and they say, talking about being a genius or being exquisite at something or being top of the notch. They say if you can do anything for 10,000 hours, then you become an expert at it, right? Right? And they say if you can, so whatever it is you're doing, if you can, 10,000 hours in your head, you think, well, I can do that, but you got to realize that's years and years with hours and hours a day for years and years. Consistently, all right? They say if you do anything for 10,000 hours, you become an expert at it. It is just naturally understood. This is no spiritual, this is no supernatural, nothing. This is just if you can physically sit there and play the drums for 3 hours a day for all these different years, after you get to 10,000 hours, you will be an expert at it. This is a regular scientific thing, all right? So if we do these numbers, and Rachel was telling me the other day, we do these numbers, and we're talking about every day communing with the Holy Ghost for 40-plus years. Not missing no days. Wow. We're talking about apostle right now. Yeah. This is why you need to listen. Amen. No. Look at me. This is why you need to listen. Just shut up. Shut up. You ain't got no revelation. I'll say it again. You ain't got none. This is why you need to, the Bible says the less is blessed of the better. When the better speaks, you have nothing else to say. I used to work my nerves when people would come for counseling, but then you want to talk. You need counseling. You here for me to counsel you. Somebody come in and need prayer, but then they start saying what the Lord told. The Lord didn't tell you nothing, couldn't have been. When the better starts talking, the less needs to be quiet. When the better starts, you know, the oil comes from the top to the bottom. When the oil starts flowing, just get under the oil. And that's hard for us to do because we're smart. And it tells us we all created equal. And we get all these different things under our belt. I can vote, you can vote. And we get all this under our belt. We get caught up with man's laws and we forget supernatural government. We forget how this thing really goes. Now, it's all set up for everybody to be blessed. Listen to me. It's all set up for everybody to be blessed, but you've got to submit. Them hours, ended up, how many hours? You told me like around 60,000 hours. That's just roughly. Just 60,000 hours of spending time with God. 60,000 hours of just, it's for you, Lord. I aspire to do such things. I hope one day that I can, that one day I can have 60,000 under my belt, starting tonight and tomorrow. amen. I would just hope. And so now he's the father of this house, not because it was an inheritance or not because it was something special going on. It's something that he put himself in position with God so that he was able to be a general.
Right.
Do y'all understand me? See, he's the father of the house because he's paid the price to be the father.
That's good,
Lord. So now, what do I, my part, I keep talking about my part. I keep talking about our part, right? I keep talking about, well, I got to position myself. I got to be in place. I got to realize that I don't know enough to go where I need to go, so somebody's got to take me there. A lot of times you need somebody to escort you into the deep things of God. Well, the Holy Spirit can escort me. Well, you can't really hear him as clear as your leader can. Apostle told me some stuff before and gave me some wisdom on some things that I could not have thought about in a million years. I could have sat down in a room, all of us could have got together, prayed in the Holy Ghost, and I still wouldn't have came up with that idea. I still wouldn't have came up with that understanding. He said, no, don't do it like this. Do it like this. But this seems like the better way. But no, he said, do it like this. But no, this one looked like the way that it's supposed to go because it seemed, look, I look. Look, that's the way. Look at it. So now I feel like I'm deeper than the one that's deeper. This the way. This the way right here. No, listen. Do it this way. I got stories for both sides. I got stories where I went that way that I thought I was supposed to go. And what happens is it delays me because now I got to backtrack that whole street back to where the instructions came and then go the right way. See, God is not delaying nothing from you. God not trying to hold nothing back. God not saying you got to be such age for this to happen to you. Or this got to happen. No, he's not holding anything. All good things come from God. He's not holding nothing back. The hold back is you. Because maybe he's dropping it off on this street, but you over here. Listen to me. Everybody say fresh leadership.
Fresh leadership.
Come on, say it again, fresh leadership.
Fresh leadership.
Come on, say it again, fresh leadership.
Fresh leadership.
Listen, it is always going to be fresh leadership. I appreciate here, and I appreciate this church, and there's a lot of other churches that do it, but I know this is my church. This is the church that God connected me to. So I stay connected, and I follow the fresh leadership because I don't want the stale. I don't want the same old. I need the fresh. Like, show me the thing that I couldn't see before. You know, he's an overseer for a reason. There's a note that he gave me, and it says, the watchman sees things that you don't see. I'll wait for a louder amen. The watchman sees things that you don't see. That's why he's the watchman. That's why he's the overseer, because he sees over what you see. You thought you saw it all, then the overseer says, hey, you know, you can see step one, two, right? Overseer step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and maybe 10 on down to 20. He's seeing all those.
Yeah.
So he's giving you instructions right then to be able to maneuver. And sometimes the instructions help you skip a few steps.
Right. Yeah.
The watchman always sees something that you don't see.
Yeah. Yeah.
The watchman always has some discernment or some revelation that you don't have. You know, it's rather easy to be, this past church membership now. This past being a good word of lifer. This past being a cool little church member and you got perfect attendance, right? Yeah, amen. It's past that now. This goes deeper. This goes further. This goes higher. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and don't say I ain't never tell you this, all right? So I don't never want to hear you say, Montreal, you didn't tell me. Ain't nobody told me. Where we are going and where we are about to go, you cannot go there in the flesh. Listen to me, hold on, listen to me. I want you to amen right now. Listen to me. Where we are going and where God is endeavoring to take us as individuals and as a group and as a ministry, where we are going cannot be, you cannot cross over there in the flesh. You cannot transcend there with those heavy weights on you. You cannot rise up to that level doing things the way you've been doing them. Insanity is doing things the same over and over again and expecting a different result. That's why you need fresh instructions. It's going to take our spiritual aptitude to come up to another level. Our spiritual understanding. Well, I've been praying this much. Well, you need to pray more. Because where we're going is going to take that. You're not going to get it. When Moses started leading them out to the wilderness and the Lord started telling them to do all the different things, then people didn't understand. They didn't get it, but he was taking them to a land flowing with milk and honey. He was taking them somewhere they couldn't get to on their own. I saw you, it was amazing to me when he said, I'm going to feed you with fresh manna from heaven, right? The bread was falling every morning, wasn't it? But they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it and put it up. A couple people tried to, you know, I'm going to take a plate home. So I'm going to, right? So a couple people started scraping off the ground. They're like, we got a little extra. So I'm just going to store it up. So we're going to be eating extra tomorrow. And a worm got into it and ate it up. In other words, trust me for the fresh. I don't need you eating that bread from yesterday. I need you with fresh bread today. Now, it would be bad if the bakery wasn't open every day. But it's open every day, every second of the day. Always trying to drop something fresh. Everybody say fresh.
Fresh.
Off to you. But you got to accept the fresh leadership.
Yeah.
Do y'all understand me? Yeah. Are y'all with me for a second?
Yeah.
So you've got to, so our spiritual aptitude has to step up. because it's not going to be run of the mill. Some of the instructions that's going to be given when they come in here is going to be something you've never heard of before. What are you going to do? Are you going to buckle? Are you going to leave? Are you going to run away? Or will you trust the leadership to go to the next level? Right now, I'm sitting in the room right now. I watch some old tapes from 97 and 98, and I don't see none of these people in here. I watch some old tapes. I'm looking at this crowd right now at y'all, and I can probably pick that count in my two hands, the people that were here back then. And they just come and they go. Now, one thing that's different about that is that the ministry. Never stop. No, it didn't even go in the end of the cough. No, it just. There's some places, there's some things. See, you're here because God connected you here. You're not going to get your feeding from nowhere else. You can't. You can go somewhere else, but it's not gonna feed you like it should. Cause God called you. I told somebody one time. Sometimes I gotta just talk about this. Sometimes there's some children that are here. Some people that are my age that I grew up with, and their parents are not here no longer. Cause they left or did whatever they wanted, whatever they felt, whatever, I don't know, whatever they felt. But children are still here. And I told them, I said, listen, God is gonna be able to do something through you that He was trying to do through your family line. But he couldn't do it, so God gonna use you to do it.
That's right.
See, God has we don't understand. We don't get it all the time. That's why we just gotta follow. Follow where we are led. The picture is bigger than you can see. Listen to me. So now, see, God and I had this vision years ago, and I might have said it before, but I had a vision years ago, and there was the best way I can describe it is the shape of this body. And he was all light. It was all light. And he was just suspended in the air, all light. And he was big, he was huge, right? The shape of a body. And then from it was lines. Hundreds of lines, thousands of lines. And on the end of those lines were other light bodies. They were lit up. I mean, God showed me like that for a reason, because it was no facial features, and it was just light. And they were lit up, and they were connected to that larger body. And then there was more. It branched out to those little bodies. And from those little bodies, branched out more. And all I saw was generations.
Yes.
Generations of light.
Wow.
Listen to me. Generations of light. There is something. You can't choose where you want to be.
No.
You can't do it. You can't. You can't decide what you want to do. Like. When are we going to understand that my life is not my own? When are we going to understand that I can't do it in my own thoughts? I've got to be submitted. There's a plan that God had from the beginning of time that you should be here right at this moment. You know, remember me saying, Jeremiah, before you was formed in the belly, I knew you? And I ordained and I sanctified your prophets and nation. Remember all that? Yeah, yeah. He saw this moment right now. He saw this connection right here. He saw me putting it and such a. He saw what this connection can do to the generation.
Yes.
Listen to me. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. God has designed something great and mighty to happen.
Wow.
In us, through us, with us, and with this whole thing. I'm not talking about church right now, okay? I'm talking about God's mission, God's vision. This thing that God is playing that's above all of us. We're going there. I would not, I'm old enough to see a lot of transition in this ministry. I thank God for allowing me. I'm old enough to see, like I wasn't born in all of this. Right? I wasn't born in all this. I wasn't born where everything was all peachy cream and everything was all good. So I'm old enough to see transition. I'm old enough to see transition in this ministry. And you couldn't have told me it was going to be like this. You know, we got dreams. And we got vision boards, you know, and all the stuff we do, right? And all the cool stuff we do. But I couldn't have dreamed or couldn't have thought that it would be like it is right now and then still going higher. I thought we had made it. I thought we had made it. You know, when Dad taught at camp meeting, thought we had made it. Dad told me, I thought we had made it because those are all my superstars. Yeah. Everybody was watching the athletes. All my superstars was the John Osteens and the Kenneth Hagins and the Kenneth Copelands and the Fred Prices and the Charles Capps. You name them. This is my superstars. So I thought we had made it. We was on the elevator one time, and it was me and my dad and John Osteen. I think it might have been Norval Hayes on there. If you don't know these guys, you need to go do some research. And I said, it's giants in the elevator. And I'm sitting there like this. I thought we had made it. It can't get no higher than this, Jesus. There's no deeper places in the spirit than this moment right here. There's no other levels in the spirit than this moment right here. And then the Holy Spirit just started giving the wisdom and direction. And it's the same wisdom and direction you've been given since the beginning. Just give wisdom. And it just kept level after level after level after level. And it's still going level after level. Now, the supernatural interpretation, the understanding that's coming out of our apostles is unheard of. The fact that we're doing those apostolic declarations.
Right.
You ain't never been to no church that did that to you before. That's some other stuff. That's somewhere else that I ain't been before. That's on another level that I have not seen. Some of y'all done came from them old religious churches, haven't you? Come on, say amen. Come on. They came to church, you knew exactly what was going to happen at 10:45. You knew we were going to be here next week. The only time we're going to have a lot of people here is on Easter, maybe. But it wasn't no revelation. We're going to learn to have a nice little Bible story, and then praise the Lord, we're going to go home and try to live our lives the best way we know how. But yet we're here under a fresh anointing. There is no reason. Listen to me, y'all. Thank God. Thank God that we are here right now. Say it. Come on, say it. Thank God that we are here right now. Come on, say it. Thank God. I'm going to talk for myself. Thank God that I'm here right now. God has called us for such a time as this. To be a part of whatever he's doing. Montreal, what he doing? I don't know all of what he's doing, but I know it's something great. And I know he got planned. Verse 9, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. I don't know everything that he got planned. I don't know what all he's trying to do out this whole thing. But I do know that he's doing something. And I know that God don't make mistakes. And I know that God always has a bigger plan than I have. So my job is to not feel no kind of way about it. My job is to figure out the best way to submit so I can fly. My job is, nobody cares about your feelings. You think God cares about your feelings? No. God cares about his mission. Now he understands if you submit your feelings to his feeling, then your feelings will be okay. But otherwise, anything outside of him, he ain't got no cares about that. Listen to me. So I just let it go. I prepare myself to submit. I set it in my heart to follow. Hold on, listen to me. I've set it in my heart to follow. I don't care what comes. I've set it in my heart to follow. I don't care who says what. I have set it in my heart to follow. If I got to drop these friends off, or if I got to stop talking to this person, then so be it, because I've set it in my heart to follow. If it's lined up with the word, I'm following it.
Yes.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. See, we've got to be determined. He said, I've determined not to know anything. I have determined myself not to know nothing. Except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then another scripture said, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. You ever heard that scripture before? Yeah. They follow me. Well, I know he's following Christ, so I'm just gonna follow. Yeah. I don't know what he know.
That's right.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Listen to me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do know how to follow.
Thank you, Lord.
I do know how to submit. I do know how to yield. And as I yield, we yield. This is what I'm saying. As I yield, as we yield, we'll yield. That's two different types of yield I'm talking about right now. As we yield to the leadership, we'll yield the harvests. See, the ground yields fruit. The tree yields fruit. In other words, it births fruit. Like yielding leads to yielding. If you want something that needs to be, that is something that you've been believing for, that you expect to be birthed in your life, then you have to yield in order for that yielding. I don't know if y'all catching that. I don't know if y'all hearing what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. In order to yield of your fruit, to yield the fruit, there's things that God has put on the inside of you, those gifts that God has put on the inside of you that need to be yielded in order for other people to partake.
Yes.
But in order for this to yield, I have to yield. I have to be open to be planted. What if the ground started fussing with the farmer? What if the ground? Ground close up. I don't want that. Don't plant into me. You know you ain't nothing but ground anyway, right? You know, you know. In the beginning, he said he made you from the dust. You know you ain't nothing but some dirt. I know we get to start feeling good about it, but you know you ain't nothing but some ground, right? So you made to be planted into. You made to be planted. Ain't no ground up here. All ground under. All the ground under. All the ground. Ain't no planting up in the air. So in order to be planted into, I got to get. We got to prepare ourselves. And I'm letting you know early. I'm going. I'm letting you know early. I'm going. I'm going to submit. I'm going to yield. I'm going to let go. I'm going to let go of whatever I thought was what it was and follow the leadership. I'll follow fresh. I'll follow fresh. Say it. I'll follow fresh. I'll follow fresh. I've determined in my mind. No, this is not a cool little Wednesday night service. No. Make it up in your mind that you're going to follow.
Amen. Glory to God.
No, I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about staying abreast of. You know, sometimes you can stay abreast of what's going on and not be following.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Or sometimes you can kind of get a bulletin of what's going on, but you ain't really following.
Yeah.
Right.
I've determined to set myself up to follow.
Amen.
If this is the house that God has planted me in, if this is the connection that God has given me, and thank God he gave me this connection, I praise God for it. If this is the connection that God has given me, then I'm going to do everything in my power to stay submitted. And to follow. You don't need to know where it's at because you're a follower.
Right.
So stop trying to figure out where it's at. If the leader's in front of you, then you're going the right way.
Right.
If you listen, if you look around, you don't see the leader, something's wrong. If you look around and you don't see the leader nowhere where you are, then maybe you somewhere else. As long as you can see the leader, you're going in the right direction. All right? As long as you can see the leader, you're going the right. Determine. Make it determined in yourself. Make it a point. I'm getting everything out the way so that I can follow. I'm getting all this stuff out the way. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost more about that. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, stop praying about that stuff and start praying about following.
Right.
Holy Ghost, help me follow better.
Right.
Holy Ghost, break me down so I can follow better. Right. Listen, cover my misunderstanding. Well, I don't understand that. Holy Ghost, cloak that, please. I tell you what, just blind my eyes and let me hold hands and follow if I'm going to be talking too much.
Yeah.
You know, that happened with John the Baptist's daddy. It had to strike his mouth so he couldn't talk.
That's right.
Because he couldn't see what was going on.
Yeah.
Everybody say, expect the fresh leadership. Stand on your feet. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this time. We thank you that you've given us the ability to follow. We thank you for our fresh leadership. We thank you for our leader. We thank you for Apostle. And we thank you for his life. We thank you for everything that you've called him to do, God. As he goes, so will we go. Give us the know-how. Give us the wisdom. Give us the anointing, the impartation to follow the way that we should, God. Anything in our hearts, God, we repent of it right now. Anything in our hearts that's blocking us from receiving like we should, God. Break those furrow parts. Break those hard parts of our heart, Father. Break those hard parts in our mind, God. Break those hurt moments in our mind, God, so that we can receive and follow like you called us to follow, God. We thank you, Holy Ghost. We can't even follow without you helping us follow. And so we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus.